Friends, go ahead and open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Pull out your sermon notes out of your bulletin. You will notice it's a goldenrod color. You'll notice that I'm going to be jumping around a little bit in 1 Corinthians 12. This is the theme verse. Now, you know these 6 weeks is a thematic series called The Gift. Last week we kicked it off and we made sure you knew that the gift is Jesus Christ. Yes, this is a 6-week series on the spiritual gifts. But before we can talk about the spiritual gifts, we need to be clear that the indescribable gift, the gift that is greater than any other gift you can receive, is the gift the Father gave us in Jesus Christ. Because when you receive Jesus Christ, you receive all the promises of God. All the promises of God are yours. And when you receive the promises of God, one of those promises is that the Holy Spirit would come into you and that the Holy Spirit would continue to do work in you. And that work is to bring about the maturity of your character. And we know that maturity is the fruit of the Spirit, that you are and you are becoming love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. This is who you are. But God doesn't stop there. He not only gives you his character through the fruit of the Spirit, he gives you your ministry. And your ministry is what God has called you to do, to build his body, to make his name known, so that the world may know of the love of God and the gift he gave us in Jesus Christ. So the spiritual gifts we learned last week are for one primary purpose only, and that is to exalt God. And God wants his name exalted through you by the way you live out your maturity, your character, and the way you live out your ministry, what he wants you to do. So today, this sermon, building upon last week, is called The Gift is All About Love. It's all about love. So let's read the scripture. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. Then I'll jump to verse 4 through 7. Then I'll jump to verses 14 to 27. Everything in 1 Corinthians 12 is good. We just got to stay focused. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. In other translations, it says, I do not want you to be ignorant. That's how important the teaching the spiritual gifts are. The Apostle Paul made a point of saying, church, you cannot be ignorant. You cannot be unaware of this teaching. Here we go, verse 4. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, that means outcomes, but the same God who works all things in all persons. So who works? God works all things in all persons. Verse 7. But to each one is given the manifestation. That means you bear the evidence of, you live out, but to each one is given the manifestation of the Holy Spirit for what? Your own good? Your family's good? Your bank account's good? Your career's good? No, for what? The common good. It's not about you. That's what we learned last week. It's about what God is doing through you, in you. You're just a great benefactor of his presence in you. Verse 14. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, now you got to check this out. This is as plain language as the Bible can get. All right? If the foot says, because I am not a hand, I am not a part of the body. It is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. And if the ear says, because I'm not an eye, I am not a part of the body. It is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, just as who desired? He desired. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. Many members, but one body. Verse 21. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, It is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor. And our less presentable members become much more presentable, whereas our more presentable members have no need of it. But God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked, so that there would be no division. So that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are. Did you hear this? You are. Can't get any simpler than this. You are. If you are a born-again believer of Jesus Christ, if you have come into a personal relationship with God through the forgiveness of your sins, and you've asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, you are Christ's body and individually members of it. Friends, you're a part of something bigger than yourself. God, I pray that you would teach us who we are in you and what that means. Amen. So first point. We are the members of the what? You can guess this one. The body of Christ. Good job. You've been listening. We are members of the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:27. Now you are Christ's body and individually members of it. And then Paul teaches us through the wedding imagery, the marriage imagery. This is why Christian marriage is so important, because the husband and the wife have a relationship with one another that reflects God's relationship with his church. Listen to this, Ephesians 5:28-30. So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are what? Members of his body. So God is setting up a relationship between human beings that points to his relationship with his creation. That's why marriages in the church are so important, because we don't stand for ourselves. We stand for something bigger than who we are. Friends, the church is not about us. The church is about God. Do you get that? The church is about God. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, this is Paul speaking, I implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now listen to this. You paying attention? There is how many bodies? There is one body. How many spirits? One Holy Spirit. Just as also you were called in how many hopes? One living hope, the hope of Jesus Christ, of your calling. We're all called to the one living hope, the one body, through the one Spirit. How many lords? One Lord. How many faiths? One faith. How many baptisms? One baptism. How many gods? One God and Father of all. All means all, and that's all means? I mean, does all leave anything out? No. Oh, he doesn't. God is the Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. You can't get any more all than that. That's a whole lot of all going on. It's a whole lot of one and a whole lot of all. All right? It's all one. Hey, that's kind of nice. I like that. All right. But, that's a big transition word there. But to each one of us, so it goes to the individual level, each one of us, grace, that's God's unmerited favor. You can't earn that. That's what your salvation comes from. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of what? Of Christ's gift. Friends, it's all about the gift of Jesus Christ. We are members of the body of Christ. And when you receive the gift of Jesus Christ, you become a member of his body. Amen? Listen to this. Having received such a great gift of the salvation through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you are now a member of the church. We're not talking about membership classes here. We're talking about you are a member of the church because you are a born-again believer in Jesus Christ. The spiritual gifts, why do they exist? They exist to equip the body of Christ to fulfill God's mission on the earth. And what is that mission? Luke 19:10. Why did the Son of Man come? To seek and to save what was lost. You've been found. You're a member of the body. And now your whole purpose in life is to go out and seek and save what was lost. Not to make this your religion that makes you happy and comfortable. Get it? I hope so. I'll watch and see. You laugh. I'm not. Every member, here's second point. Every member of the body of Christ is given spiritual gifts. Why? So you can make yourself look better than everyone else. So you can get a nice paying job as a preacher. Why? Why? To equip. Every member of the body of Christ is given spiritual gifts. So that the Holy Spirit, through His church, may equip you and me to answer the call of ministry. And what is that call of ministry about? It's about the mission of God to seek and save that which was lost. There are people going to hell right now. And it's the church's responsibility to proclaim the gospel to them. Listen to 1 Peter 4, 7 through 11. The end of all things is near. Do you believe that? It's been true for 2,000 years. It continues to be true today. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be of sound judgment and sober spirit. That means sincere spirit. That means focused. For the purpose of prayer, above all, listen to this, above all, keep fervent in your love. You know what the gift that really matters is? It's the gift of love. Keep fervent in your love for one another. That's the character of Christ. He wants you to live out the character, the fruit of the Spirit. Because love covers what? A multitude of sins. The only way we can be in relationship with one another is if we're in relationship with God. Because the only way we can have our sins covered, forgiven, atoned for is through the blood of Jesus Christ. And the only way we can be in relationship with one another is if we're covered with His blood. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. That means you don't complain as you clean your house for your guests coming over. That means you don't complain as you do the dishes after they leave. Verse, here we go. As each one has received a special gift, that's the spiritual gifts. As each one has received a special gift, employ it, use it in serving one another as good stewards, good servants of what? The manifold grace of God. That means no matter which angle you look at it, the fullness of, the complexity of, you are your life, the way you love, the way you host, the way you go about doing your things, and the spiritual gifts you have, it's for the purpose of bringing witness to the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks is to do so as one speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Why? Why do we use our spiritual gifts? Whether you're up front speaking or behind the scenes serving. Whether you're up front or behind the scenes, why are you doing what you're doing? What's that say there? So that in all things, whether you're up front or behind the scenes, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. You know the reason we've had so much confusion about the spiritual gifts is because we made them about us. They're not about us. They're about God using us for His purpose. 1 Corinthians 12. We've read this. I've read this to you already, friends. This is the body imagery. How can the eye say to the nose, it's not important? How can the hand say to the foot, it's not important? How can the heart say to the lungs, they're not important? How can the knee say to the ankle, it's not important? Friends, every single part of your body is important. And if one part hurts, doesn't the whole thing hurt? Yeah. Spiritual gifts are given to equip us with our ministry as the body of Christ. That's why we have them. God gave us spiritual gifts so that through the power of His Holy Spirit, through His Word, through the church, we will be equipped with the ministry. In fact, the ministry of the individual members of the body of Christ is how the mission of God is fulfilled. Listen to this. The we is greater than the me. The we is greater than the me, but every individual me is necessary for the we to be successful. In other words, the we is more important than the me, but the we cannot do its job unless every me is involved. Do you understand that? But you have to submit and subordinate and submit your me to the we. And we have a hard time with that. You want to know why we start with that? It's called sin. Exactly the thing Jesus took from us to make us a body is the thing that keeps us from acting like a body. What a paradox. What a confusing thing. Friends, the we is greater than the me, but every me must act together as the different parts of the body for the we to do its job, to fulfill the mission of God. Friends, your ministry matters because our ministry matters, because God has ordained for us to be the ones who get the job done in the mission. If there are people going to hell, it's our fault, because we need to be the ones who share the good news of the gospel with them, especially in our own hometown, but also to the world. Third point, the spiritual gifts are only effective when we use them in love for the sake of love. Friends, the spiritual gifts are only effective when we use them in love for the sake of love. Listen to Romans 12, 4 through 8. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith, if service in his serving, or he who teaches in his teaching, or he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. And then 1 Corinthians 12. But earnestly desire the greater gifts. Now listen to this, friends. We are individually members of the one body of Christ. Now listen to the most important gift. Because none of the spiritual gifts, I don't care, even your craftsmanship, your knitting, your working with your hands, My preaching will fall on deaf ears if there's not love in every single word I say. Listen to this. But earnestly desire the greater gifts, and I show you a still more excellent way. If I speak with tongues of men and of angels but do not have love, I become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Friends, even if we had every program and every ministry and every perfect song and every perfect length sermon, and we had all of that squared away and the way we wanted it, if it wasn't filled with love, if it wasn't for the purpose of love, then it would do nothing. All the spiritual gifts are important to God's purposes for our lives as the body of Christ. We are ineffective, and so is our use of spiritual gifts if we do not love one another. Jesus said, you will know they're my disciples by their love. John 13, 35. If we do not love one another, and if we are not unified together as the diverse individuals God has called us together as members of the body, then we cannot fulfill God's plan. It is impossible for any one individual, no matter how hardcore you are, no matter how much you've memorized the scriptures, no matter how dedicated you are, you cannot fulfill the plan of God by yourself. You've got to be in relationship and in community with the body of Christ, and you've got to demonstrate through love and unity of purpose. Friends, if we do not use the spiritual gifts in love for the sake of God's love, for the sake of making His gift known, then we're bankrupt and we need to close the doors. And you need to give your money somewhere else. But if this is for the sake of love and the glory of God, then your tithes and offerings and this building and our ministries and our programs and our small groups and everything we do is worth it. Then we need to give everything we have. In Christ, we are better together. Are you ready, friends? Are you ready to learn more about your spiritual gifts so that we can better support one another in God's call to ministry? Are you ready to do it together, church? Are you ready to be the body of Christ, church? Are you ready to give everything you have for His glory, church? Because we can't do it alone. But we can't do it without you giving 100% either. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. We can't do it without you. Holy Spirit, come and teach us now to love one another, to understand one another, and to work together for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.